Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to dive into Genesis chapter 29 again today. We're talking about Leah, but we're really talking about the transformation of Leah, and still setting the stage in the background. And, you know, I don't want to minimize any of the foundational aspects of her life. If you don't understand the foundation, you won't understand the transformation. And the transformation that Leah experiences is remarkable. And if you're just reading, you know, through, if you're just, you know, trying to read a chapter a day, you'll go through that and you'll just blow right by it, and you won't even pay attention to it. But I'm telling you, once you see it, you can't forget. And so Leah had a very painful origin, but she has a very triumphant end to her life. And so I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804 is how you get in touch with them. I was talking with a person in another area, and they were having some concrete work done, and they were amazed at how quickly the concrete set up. Now there's it getting hard and then it curing, where it gets really, really as hard as it's supposed to be. You know, there was a lot of discussion, you know, here over the past few weeks about things that were built under substantial amounts of concrete, and you know, how penetrable or impenetrable they were. Well, the person I was talking to, they were very surprised at how quickly the concrete had set up. You know who would not be surprised by how fast things set up? That's the folks of Jits Concrete. It's not, whenever you're dealing with concrete, it's got to be, you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, it's going to be problematic. And so maybe you've got a project that you have on the horizon, and if that's the case, calling the professionals may be a more economical and a more timely solution than trying to do it yourself. Jits Concrete, they've got decades of expertise. They've got decades of experience, and they have the networking. They have the work ethic to get the site prepared, get the concrete poured, get the concrete finished, get the cleanup done, clean up all of the you know, materials around that, and then get out of the way so the project can go forward. I know a number of people that I've recommended them to through the years, and they use them repeatedly. If you've got a project, 321-536-5804 may be a great number for you to have written down someplace, so you could call Greg and say, hey, can you come out and give me a quote? And they can give you a quote, a timeline, when they're available, how long it'll take them, and all of that. But I've seen them work when nobody else knew that they were working. I've seen them work in very hot conditions. They do this year-round. They're professionals, and they really do know what they're doing. If they can be of help to you, 321-536-5804 is how you could get in touch with them. So we're going back to Genesis 29. I'll begin reading in verse 31, but we covered first verses 31 and 32 yesterday. Let's begin reading now Genesis 29, 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." Then she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. So Leah's, the first couple of decades of her life are extremely dysfunctional. She's got problems with her dad, problems with her sister, problems with her husband. And she has an awareness of God, and she discovers in her marriage that God has seen that she is unloved. She has a son, and it's a, and she said, "Surely the Lord has looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." She thought that because she had given a son that it was going to change her relationship with her husband. It did not. It did not for her. It will not for you. It's never done that for me. We cannot let the criticism or the fallen nature treatment of others or by others to us, we cannot let those things define our reality, our identity. They should not be the governing or controlling impact on our life. But most of us, like Leah, have to learn that for ourselves, and we have to learn it the hard way. So everything's going to change because of Reuben until it doesn't. But if at first you don't succeed, try again. And so she conceives again in verse number 33. She has another son. And this is the declaration when the baby's going to be named. She says, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Simeon means heard. Now, I want to share something with you. Somebody had to hear what Leah was saying about these children. I don't know if Rachel was in the room. I don't know if Jacob is in the room. But whether it's the midwife, whoever it is, someone is hearing when she says, I'm in an afflicted condition, but God is seeing me. I'm unloved, but God has heard about it. And so, because the Lord has heard that I am loved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, meaning God has heard. I do want to tell you this. God sees you. God sees the way other people treat you. He also sees the way we treat other people. God sees the afflictions that we deal with. He sees what we do and why we do it. He also has heard about our condition. So Here, she says, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. And God does hear. He hears our prayers. He hears our praise. He hears our cries in the night. He hears what other people say about you. He hears what you say about other people. God hears. And so, son number two says, God has heard that I am unloved. Well, I just want to keep pointing people back to the love of the Father. I want to point people back to the love of Jesus, where he was willing to come and suffer the penalty of our sin so that our sin could be forgiven and we could be reconciled to God. So the question is not whether or not God hears us. The better question is, do we hear him? So Reuben is a daily reminder. See, here's the son. And so I pray that throughout our life, we're constantly pointing people to Jesus. When Simeon comes along, throughout his entire life, every time they call his name, they are reminded that we are heard. I can assure you from the Word of God that the prayers that you pray to God in a covenant relationship with him, he hears them. His ear is tuned to the frequency of my voice and your voice. He hears us. And when we know that he hears us, we know we're going to get a response. It may not be the response we are looking for, but we will get a response. I remember telling my children, I think my wife is the first one that mentioned it, but I was the one who repeated it frequently, and that is, you don't always want what you think you want. And my kids are like, that doesn't even make any sense. And what the statement means is this: you may want something right now, but if you get it, it will not be until later that you discover that you do not want the price tag nor the consequence of that uncontrollable desire, that longing that you had. The devil is great at creating an unholy desire that only when you get it do you understand that there's a price tag that comes that is more than you want or are willing to pay. So, son number two comes along. Surely God's heard that I'm unloved. And you know what happens? Nothing. The having Reuben did not change the dysfunction of others. The having Simeon did not alter the fact that Leah was unloved by the adults that were surrounding her. Now, I do believe that there was a love dynamic there with the kids. But the people that she really desperately wanted to love her did not. So if at first you don't succeed, like I said earlier, try again. And if you don't succeed the second time, try again. That's what this world tells us to do. I realized about a year and a half ago, we were doing a small group meetings on Tuesday nights And we called it redemptive compassion. And I remember sitting there one night, and basically all I was there to do was to, I wasn't teaching the class. There was a licensed mental health counselor teaching the class. Was tremendously informative. It was phenomenal. And I discovered that during that time, I was sitting there listening, and all of a sudden I had a new understanding. I knew this when God showed me this in Genesis chapter 29 and 30. But I saw new applications of it where I was trying to work, even in the ministry, trying to get the acceptance, the approval, the endorsement of people, and that work harder, work longer, you know, preach better, you know, motive, or, you know, trying to do life that way, that it was showing up in areas that I had not really understood before. And so I have a very difficult time just sitting there watching television without doing something else. And I understood years ago where someone told me that they were an emotional eater. Whenever they were going something emotional, they would eat. Well, I wasn't necessarily an emotional eater. I was a boredom eater. I am a boredom eater. And so if I'm sitting there, I'm my hands need to constantly be doing something. And so I would be eating even if I wasn't hungry, just because I was bored. Not eating bad, just, you know, trying to stay busy. So, you know, multitasking, trying to earn the approval and the love of other people. And you know, just like Leah, even though it didn't work the first time and it didn't work the second time, we'll give it a third try. And so that's what Leah does again. And in verse 34, it says, she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." And so you see that Leah is unloved. Leah is tormented, afflicted in her personality. And she is also trying to earn acceptance from her husband, and what she's really longing for is, she is longing for a relational attachment, not an encounter attachment. A lot of people are frustrated in their Christian walk because they are content with an occasional interaction with God when it's convenient, and it might produce a few life-altering events, but it doesn't have any personality transforming attachment. Interesting thing about the tribe of Levi: the tribe of Levi was the tribe at the very center of Israel's camp. It was at the very core. The tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe. The tribe of Levi was the one who tended to the tabernacle and all of its equipment and all of its furniture. And when the tribes all set up in a 360-degree radius, with Judah going first in the procession and being to the east, and then Reuben on the south, and Ephraim on the west, and Dan being the lead tribe on the back, you know, as the rear guard. And then there were two other tribes that camped out next to those four prominent tribes. At the very center of it all was the tribe of Levi. And Leah is looking for that covenant relationship with her husband. And she didn't get it the first time. She didn't get it on her wedding day. She didn't get it when she had the first child. She didn't get it the second child. And she's still not going to get it with Levi. But Levi was a bigger, there was a bigger attachment than Leah to Jacob. Levi was the tribe that was supposed to be the attachment between God and his people. I remember when I was growing up, how important it was to try and be accepted by the people that I went to school with. They called it peer pressure. What none of us really realized was that you grow up, you go off and you either get a job or you go to school and then you get a job, and that you end up migrating to wherever you need to go because of the career that you've chosen. And that whenever you do that, all of a sudden those people that you were trying to live for their approval, it no longer matters anymore because you've moved away from their influence. And so if you're trying to live for the approval of people you've known all your life, you know, maybe it's your parent, maybe it's your sibling, maybe it's your spouse. I can tell you that before any of those other relationships can improve, you've got to have a covenant-attached relationship with God. Let me say one more thing about peer pressure while I'm on that. You might think that peer pressure ended when you graduated school. You might think peer pressure ended when you graduated college. I'm here to tell you, peer pressure is something that happens in just about every stage of life a person has. You know, I remember seeing a commercial. I've got the membership at the golf course. I got the big house. I've got the fancy cars. I've got all of the stuff, and the guy's riding on his mower, and he said, "I am so exhausted trying to keep up with the Joneses. I just need someone to help me." And his life was out of control. He was trying to keep up appearances for the Joneses. I'm not here to try and pressure you. I'm trying to introduce you to the person who can break the power of those peers by walking in covenant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you know, I live by a different standard now than I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I was controlled by the lack of resources. The amount of money that I made in the first 18 years of my adult life, I don't know if we ever got out of the poverty level during those years. It was a long time, long time. And, you know, now I'm like, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be less attached to things, and every day I want a greater attachment to Jesus. Levi would not produce the attachment with Jacob that Leah wanted any more than Simeon did or Reuben did. But Levi would be a tremendous reminder that our relationship with God is not supposed to be an occasional crossing of the paths. We're not supposed to be detached from God. We're supposed to be attached to God. Leah said, surely my husband will, because now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. I can tell you, dealing with people, people may not respond. People probably will not respond the way that you think they will. But God will. And so today, as we close out this broadcast, I want to elevate the goal that you have in your life. People who've people have treated me badly. There's some people that I should have treated better that, so we've all fallen short. But I tell you, one person who will never fall short of treating you perfectly is God. I may not understand all of the ways that God has operated. That doesn't mean that God's inferior. The Bible says his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I tell you, it's not just because you say a prayer that you're going to heaven. It's because you are in covenant relationship with him. If there's something that modern American Christianity is not well versed in, it is in the blessing of covenant relationship with God. Don't let your relationship with God be about convenience. God is not all that concerned about all that you can do for him until you have a covenant relationship with him where you say, God, I'm so glad I'm not trying to earn your love, earn your attention, or earn your covenant. You've made covenant available to me. I'm just thankful for your mercy and your grace in my life. I never want to live a day unattached from you. God bless you. You have a day filled with the presence of God. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.